Well, good morning. We have been working on a bit of a series on Caleb. Joe Briscoe wrote, "Not too long ago, I was babysitting one of our three-year-old grandchildren. In our family, we had twins and a single birth, all within 24 hours. We call them search, destroy, and demolition. I was babysitting demolition. As I waved goodbye to his parents, he looked perfectly all right. We had a little story out of his favorite book, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. I put him to bed and went to sleep. In the middle of the night, I felt a little hand, and I turned on the light. I looked at Drew. Chicken pox, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Nana, he said, me's having a terrible, horrible, no good, bad day. Why should some things like this happen to me, to I? I thought how like Drew we all are. Why should something like this happen to me? We cannot believe it. As Miss Piggy says, why? Not why. We cannot believe that God would allow something to happen to such nice people like us. I gave Drew a bath in porridge, oatmeal. It's a wonderful remedy. It takes away the itch. He swam around in this porridge bath, and then I took him out and wrapped his bumpy little body in a great big white towel. As I held him against my heart, he just kept saying, hold me, Nana. Hold me, Nana. Hold me, Nana. I thought of Job as I held my little Job to my heart. I thought of Caleb. I wonder if Caleb felt this way after 40 years of wandering. We've been looking at this individual who we don't hear about too often, but to many, he appeared to be a nut. But to God, he was genuine. Let's turn back to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, and we're reading much of what we've read before, but I don't make any apologize for reading the Word of God. Numbers 13 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. Down to verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to possess it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Chapter 14, verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. Verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Verse 22. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 days, or 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Father, we do ask, as we study this story of Caleb, that you would guide our thoughts and teach us what you want us to know. Speak to me and speak through me, that Christ might be glorified, we might learn, and we might apply what we learn to our own lives. We ask it in our Savior's name and for his glory. Amen. God's assessment of Caleb was that he was wholehearted. We mentioned at least 6 times, wholehearted is linked with Caleb's name. And we too should be wholehearted for the Lord. We then started to look at Caleb's wholehearted conditions before God as Caleb considered 3 things. The gift of the land offered by God, the grapes of the land, and the giants of the land. And so the first thing we looked at was the gift of the land offered to God. We haven't really got through that yet. 2 sessions already. We're sluggish, right? But we discovered God is the great giver. And he gives us a number of things. We notice that he gives us the supreme gift, which is God, which is Christ. He gives us salvation. He gives us eternal life. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us rest, and he gives us peace. When does he do that? When we accept him as our personal Savior. And we need to pause right here this morning and ask, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? It's a personal decision. You have to do it for yourself. And we trust that everyone here has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and received this gift, these gifts on the left side, because they come in accepting Christ as Savior. Have you done that? We trust you have. If you haven't, oh, we beg you to speak to someone afterwards if you don't know how, but to put your faith and trust in the Lord. The alternate is not pleasant. And then we find that we also get these other gifts, future glory. We have his word, which he wants us to study. He gives us wisdom if we ask for that. He gives us power. He gives us all things regarding life and living for him and godliness. And he gives us victory if we depend on him. Trust and obey, we sang. And he is willing, if we do that, to trust and obey him, he is willing to give that to us. But God's gift to Israel, and the gift that Caleb saw and went for, was the land that God had promised. And we noted that Canaan is not heaven, because there's battles, there's fighting, there's things to overcome, and so on. And so Canaan is not heaven, but it's heaven on earth. Okay? Because heaven on earth, as we live here on earth, there are battles that we need to go through. And so we looked at our wealth in Christ through the Holy Spirit. Many things that he gives us there. Our workmanship in Christ. And then that's as far as we got last week. And so here we are. The next thing we have is our walk in Christ. Our walk in Christ. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 through chapter 5, verse 17, talks about our walk in Christ. And you may want to have your finger there to look at things as we go through this next section. Don't lose in numbers, because we will be back, Lord willing, time preventing. All right? But if we go there, we discover the first thing that we discover in that section is that we are to walk in righteousness as a new man. Walk in righteousness as a new man. We find that in Ephesians chapter 4. It's interesting. We start off and he talks about the gifts given to the church. And the gifts there are given with the purpose of building one another up. Interesting, if he gives me a gift, it's not for my glory. It's not for me. It's for me to use. The gift he gives you is not for your glory. Not for you. It's for you to use. And you use them, and I use them, to build up other saints. That's the purpose of these gifts. So we sometimes hear people saying, well, I've got the gift of whatever, and I'm really enjoying that. I'm really, and they're delighting in it. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to build one another up in the local assembly. And we get that brought out in this section. Notice verse 12 of chapter 4, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, these gifts that he gives us are for the building up of the local church and the church universal. That's the purpose of those gifts. To bring us all into righteousness as a new man. And then he goes on and he talks about, starting at verse 17, we go on down there and he says, okay, this I say unto you and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. You see, he's talking about our walk. He wants us to walk not as the Gentiles, not as the world. Why? Because we are new in Christ. He makes us new. And really, he revolutionizes us from the inside out. And that's what he wants. So that we walk in righteousness as a new man. In fact, later on, he says, put off those things that you used to do. It says in verse 26, be ye angry and sin not, and so on. Neither give any place to the devil, and let him that stole steal no more. In other words, put off that old man. And then put on the new. It's interesting that God never tells us to put off something unless he tells you something that you can replace it with. And that's great. That's great, isn't it? Because we can replace it and it forces the old stuff out. And that's what he wants us to do. And so he wants us to walk in righteousness as a new man. And then he wants us to walk in love. Notice chapter 5, verse 2. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So he wants us to walk in love. And many times, especially if we get into John's writings, he talks about us wanting, God wants us to love one another. Husbands, love your wives, Paul says, right in Ephesians here. He wants us to not to love the world or the things of the world, but the people of the world. He wants us to love them enough to witness to them and so on and try and bring them to Christ. And so we are to walk in love. And then we are to walk as a child of light. We were talking about that earlier. We were born in darkness. Last week we talked about the fact that a sinner is blinded. They're in darkness. But he wants us, verse 8 of our chapter says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of light." Now he's talking to Christians, those who have accepted Christ as Savior. He says, okay, you were in darkness, but now you're in the light, so walk as children of light. We looked at that in the first meeting in 1 John chapter 1. The fact that we need to stay away from sin. And then he wants us to walk wisely. Notice chapter 5, verse 15. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." So he wants us to walk wisely. And where does that apply in our lives? Well, it applies in serving the Lord, because he immediately goes on and talks about that. Verse 16, redeeming the time. "The days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And so he wants us to serve the Lord, redeem the time, use our time to serve Christ in the way he wants us to do. Be wise in that. That's what he wants. But he also wants us, he goes on then, from verse 21 through to chapter 6, 19 and 20. He says that we need to walk wisely in our praising the Lord. In our praising the Lord. Notice, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, what's involved here? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody, and giving thanks. We don't necessarily connect that, giving thanks. It's interesting when we go to Romans chapter 1, we discover there where man started to fall. He knew God, but he wasn't thankful. And that's where it started. Are we thankful people? Are we thankful people? And so we can walk wisely in praising the Lord. And then from verse 21 on to chapter 6 and verse 4, he deals with family life in the Lord and for the Lord. Family life. Because he starts out in 21, "Submit yourselves one to another." Notice, that's the first thing. Submitting to one another. Okay? Then he goes on, and he deals with the wives. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Then he goes on. Okay, verse 25. Husbands, this is your job. Husbands, love your wives. Now, let me tell you something. If, husbands, you and I love our wives as we should, how's that? Well, he tells us, okay, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. How much did he do? How much did he love the church? And gave himself for it. That's the love that I must have for my wife. Husbands, that's the love that you are to have for your wife. That's a tall order. Now, husbands, if we do our jobs, it's not going to be difficult for the women to do their job. Okay? So the ball falls in our court. And Paul deals with that. Walk wisely in the family life. And he deals with that all the way down through to the end of chapter 5. We get to chapter 6, and he deals with child-parent relationship. Still in the family. Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's only part of it. The next one, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So there it is. As children, that's what we're to do. Okay? But then as parents, we get that in verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now you're going to have parenting seminar. So we'll leave that for them to deal with. Tough one. Okay? But we both have to do our part, children and parents. And then he goes on, and he deals with business life for the Lord. And we get that from verse 5 down to verse 9. And as he deals with that, now he deals with slave and master. But in this day and age, we can transfer that to employee, employer, right? Same thing. Some of us feel like slaves when we work, but anyway. But it's the same relationship. And as an employee, we are to serve our employer as if we're serving Christ. That's a tall order. Now, our employer may not, in any way, shape, or form, remind us of Christ. But that's how we're to serve them. And we'll be a witness to them as we do that. And if we are an employer, then as Christ serves us and looks after us and so on and so forth, that's how we are to look after our employees. So it's a high calling. Walk wisely. Now he gets through that down to verse 9 of chapter 6. And here is part of the reason for doing that. Because what does he do? He deals with our warfare in Christ. You see, if we don't do these things walking wisely, Satan has an opportunity. Satan has an in. And the battle begins. So it's very important that we walk wisely. Now, how did he start all this? Be not drunk with wine, we're in his excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's only by allowing the Spirit of God to control our lives that we're able to do any of those things. Tall order, but very important. Now, it's interesting when we talk about the battle in chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. All of the armor that's given there, except two pieces, is defensive. They're all for our protection. But there are two pieces for offense. You say, well, I only read one. Well, let's read them. Verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation. That's the last one of the defensive one. Protecting the mind. And the sword of the Spirit. That is offensive. That is the word of God. Because it tells us that. Which is the word of God. And that is what we use. That's offensive. Believe me, it's offensive to the world. But it's also offensive to Satan and his demons. That's the first one. Verse 18 gives us the second one. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Did you realize that prayer is one of the offensive weapons that we have? Sometimes we don't see that. Sometimes people talk about the war and they don't mention that prayer is one of our offensive weapons. But it's there. And sadly, that is a weapon that so many of us don't use as much as we should. Remember Daniel? The word came down. Daniel, you're going to lose your life. What was the first thing he did? Started talking about it, right? No. He got his other friends together and they had a session of prayer. How often do we do that? How often is that our first line of offense? Where we bring it to the Lord. Oftentimes, when we finally decide that we can't do anything about it, with all our manipulating and so on, then we decide to go to prayer. No, no. Daniel, he went to prayer first. And he got a solution. Why? Because it was one of the offensive weapons. And so he was able to defeat the foe. A Wycliffe Bible translator writes, I went to the Amazon jungle in 1963 among the Apurian people. I was the first to challenge Satan's domain over this people. My purpose was to transfer them from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Unfortunately, in spite of a master of theology degree, I was not aware of these truths about spiritual warfare. I got clobbered. Satan wiped the floor with me. I didn't understand what was happening. I knew that Satan and demons exist. The Bible is clear on that score, but I knew very little about how they operate and virtually nothing about the use of our weapons, whether for defense or offense. My professors transmitted the idea that demonic attack would not be a problem for us. But the warnings in the New Testament about conflict with Satan and demons are all addressed to believers. We are involved whether we want to be or not, and the stakes are high. The glory of God. Our enemy is committed to making us ineffective in our personal lives and in our ministries. We need to rely on the Spirit of God. But then when we think of the gift of land offered to God, we find it was the promise. We find the promise of the land. The promise of the land. Look back at Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. We've already noticed that God has promised us many things. But he promised the children of Israel the land of Canaan. Interestingly, they have not conquered the whole land yet. But one day they will. God promised it. Promised it to Abraham. Promised it to Isaac. Promised it to Jacob. And he promised it to their descendants. And God, when we read through Numbers chapter 13 and 14, we find it many times in there, it talks about the promise of the land. And so God promised the land. Caleb remembered that, and he relied on that. But there was the possession of the land that had to take place. Notice verse 3 of Joshua 1. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you as I said unto Moses. Now, he was going to give them, and he mentioned that to Abraham as well, what they tread upon. You see, they had to claim the land. And you and I need to claim the land that God has in front for us. We need to claim it. We need to work through it. You know, we do that by studying the Word of God. We were asked earlier, what promises do we rely on? Has God offered us? I noticed nobody said that he's coming again. Sorry about that. But I hope you realize he's coming again. And very soon. That's a promise. But we need to claim these things. Now, how do we claim that promise? Well, we claim it by watching and working. Watching for his coming. Boy, we can see a lot of signs around indicating that he's coming. But also working out, anxious, seeing others saved, growing ourselves, just living a life that's pure and seeking to glorify him. So that when we get there, the rewards that he offers are going to be there. And his saying to us, well done, good and faithful servant. That indicates that we are possessing the land. We are going ahead. But then we are to plea and to seek the land. Plea and seek the land. Notice verse 6. And with this, we're going to have to quit because the clock got us ahead of us again. Okay? Plea and seek the land. Notice verse 6 of Joshua 1. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest possess whithersoever thou goest. Notice verse 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Notice verse 18. Whithersoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy word in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Four verses, four times, be strong and of good courage. And when God was speaking to Joshua, those weren't the only times he told him to be strong and of good courage. We need to be that. Things are happening out there. Brian Cretney came back from Africa, and he was telling us Thursday night a few things about what he experienced there. They arrived at this one place, and just within hours before, rebels had come in and captured one of the elders of that assembly. And the rest of the assembly got together and they prayed that that elder would be released. They believed God. Sure enough, before Brian and Don left, that elder was released. Do we believe God? Do we stand on his word? Do we seek and plea? The pleading was, be strong and of good courage. Are we strong? Or do we fade off into the distance? We need to be strong. Okay, I'm going to do a not bad thing here. I've got four more points which we're going to go over very quickly. The path of possession of the land. We see that in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate in it day and night. That is the key into the word, knowing it, studying it. The preparation for entering the law. Verse 11, pass through an host and command the people, saying, prepare your victuals. Now, that's a word we don't use too often. All right? But prepare your victuals. What are the victuals? Well, I suggest to you the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and prayer. Those are the things that we need to depend on and the things we need to go forth. And we've already talked about that. Then there's the pleasure before them in the land. Verse 15 says, Joshua talking to these ones who had claimed their land already on the east of Jordan, and they had to go and fight with the rest of them to encourage them, to help them, and then they were going to come back and enjoy the land that was theirs. Now that's what we need to do. We need to help one another and encourage one another and help people get through things for the Lord. But we can enjoy the land. Do we enjoy it? And then finally, the purpose of heart to seek the land. Verse 16 and 17. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. Now, I don't know how Joshua responded to this next verse. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. If I was Joshua, I would have shuddered at that point, because they sure didn't follow through with Moses. They were against him almost every step of the way. But nonetheless, they had a willingness, a purpose of heart to seek the land. And we need to do that too. We need to rely on what the Lord says. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your goodness to us. We thank thee for the land that you provide for us and the fact that we are to possess the land even here. The promises, the things that you have set aside for us. There's much to be enjoyed, but there's also the responsibility of helping one another. And we do pray that we might do that and we might honor you in these things. And so we ask that you would just bless our time and use it for your honor and glory. For we ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.